I'm an addict, and my name is Donna. I'm going to read the speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic texts, for instance, remind us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our act of addiction or war stories because we all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, our strength, and hope of recovery. Yay! I'm still an addict. My name is Donna. And first of all, I'd like to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to be here and you all to be here for me. I'm a little nervous. I was a lot more nervous until I got here. But when I walk into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and I see all these faces, it helps to calm my nerves, you know, because I know I'm in the right place. I know I am among family, and you all love me in spite of. And I know we're not here to talk about a war story or nothing, but they always told me and my sponsor that I need to identify in and help anybody that's struggling or don't know if they really need to be here to identify in also, because this is a we program, you know. So I live to use and I use to live. My daily process was to wake up if I'd been to sleep and start that process of finding ways and means. I did that all day, every day. I'm a mother of 5 children. I have 4 sons and a daughter. My daughter is not in my life today as a direct result of my using. A lot of times I want to look to find other reasons because there were some other circumstances. But the bottom line is if I had not been using at the time and doing what I needed to do for me and my family, she would be in my life today. You know, I pray on that today, and I kind of leave that to the God of my understanding. And I know he's going to work that out when he get ready or if he get ready to, you know. I pray for her, you know, and I hope that she's okay. I started using that around 12 years old, and I didn't stop till I was 30. You know, and let me take that back. I didn't stop anything. The God of my understanding saw fit for me to be stopped. I found myself, I'm from Alexandria, Virginia. I found myself down on in the street by the subway station on my knees. And at that time, all I could do was ask for the compulsion to use to be removed because it wasn't fun anymore. It was just like a robot, you know, get up, do this. This is what we're doing today, you know. And that brings me into, you know, I'm going to throw that in there, that the disease definitely doesn't ask permission. You know, I could go to bed or every night saying, like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm so tired. I'm tired of all these people running in my house. I'm tired of neglecting my children, you know. I'm tired of doing all the things that it takes for me to do to use, you know. But I'd get up the next day and do the same thing all over again without my permission. You know, I have to say that I get so filled up about this program. You know, I've been a lot of places and I've done a lot of things, and I got a whole lot of knots on my head because I kept walking into that same brick wall over and over. But when I walked through the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, people was waiting to hug me. They didn't even know me. You know, and they told me, welcome home, we love you. They told me, sit up front so I can hear something. You know, they told me, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. And through God's grace, you know, I sat around for a minute, you know. And I want to stay on the topic, but I'll tell you, I just go all over the place because I'm so excited. I feel like I could do like some flips up and down the aisle, you know, and just jump up and down and you know, because like this, my life today is so exciting. You know what I'm saying? I always talk about like I get my spiritual awakening every single morning. You know, when the God of my understanding decides to part these two eyelids apart, and I'm looking at another day, I just jump up and like, you know, and I ain't trying to go religion on, but I thank my high power every day. And I say anything beyond this wake up is a gift, whether it's good, bad, or whatever. You know, it really doesn't matter. But, you know, I'm gonna talk about, like, the disease not giving and not asking any permission. You know, I, you know, still today, you know, my disease, and I'm gonna talk about my disease. It's cunning, it's baffling, it's insidious, it's sneaky, it's slimy, and it don't want nothing but me to stand outside looking like a bum, begging and waiting for the next one. You know, I work hard on not succumbing to the request of my disease. You know, I mean, real hard. I've been around this program, and I'm not going to talk about a few 24 hours. I'm coming up on 16 years in this program, and I'm excited about that, too, you know, because I'm not only have clean time. I'm in a process of recovery today, you know. And my disease, it works with a lower power that I'm aware of also, you know. And that comes to me through my friends, my family, my job, and a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and it will tap me on my shoulder and be like, Donna, you know, they lying. She ain't doing this. Why her skirt so tight? Why her cleavage showing? Why is this? She just sitting there, you know, talking all that good, but when she leave here, she be doing some other stuff. You know, it tells me, dang, he looks so good, you know. But he ain't got but 30 days clean. But the disease says, like, that's okay because you can show him some stuff. You know. My disease, you know, and I always talk about it tapping me on my shoulder because it taps me on my shoulder to take my focus off what's in front of me so I can go like this, you know. And, they talk about, you know, when I walk up into a store with a pocket full of money and I see some earrings hanging over there that nobody's watching, they say it's okay for you to have those, you know. It tells me on a day when I'm tired, I've worked hard, and feel like I deserve a day off, that you don't need to go to a meeting. That, like, somebody's asked you to share, but you need to make an excuse why you can't make it, you know. But I'm here to say that, like, my disease comes to me, it doesn't ask permission, but what I've learned is I ain't always got to listen, you know. I come in here in rooms like this with people like you all, and I let you know what's going on with me. I let you know when my disease is talking to me, because, see, I've heard a lot of people share, but I'm going to keep the focus on Donna, that my disease is alive and well. You know, it's laying back, pushing up, doing some of these, you know, kicking the leg. You know, it's getting prepared for the next time that I think I got it. You know, that I think I want to not do what I should be doing. You know, and I'm here to say now, definitely not perfect, you know, because there's no perfect man among us. That's what I've learned. You know, but I work on becoming a better Donna on a daily basis. You know, I have to talk about relationships. You know, I have to, for me, you know, they told me to come here and share about me, you know. And after 18 months of not being in a relationship with the disease not asking me permission, I got in one. The gentleman, and I say the gentleman because he is a gentleman, was new in recovery. He had under 2 years. And, you know, me, I'm talking about me, but I can also say we as addicts, we try to rationalize and justify some stuff, you know. Well, he's coming up on 2 years, and he's done a little bit of some, you know, he go to meetings, you know, he called his sponsor, that's what he tell me, because I ain't on the phone, you know, and this might be all right, you know, I really think at this moment I need someone in my life, and you know, he's opening doors and put me on the inside of the sidewalk, and inviting me to dinner. And when we first went out, he let me out the car, walked me to the door, didn't try to come in. This the man, you know. But that the same disease that doesn't ask for permission allowed me, I allowed it to let me forget that, like, I had 2 years clean, or almost 2 years clean one time, and I was good and crazy. All the things that they told me, or not told me, directed me and suggested that I not do, I think I did every last one of them. Like getting a relationship, you know, and we were both clean and crazy. But, anyway, I just, you know, we dated for a few months and then decided, ooh, we're going to be in a relationship. And I'm all excited. And one Friday, we were supposed to be going out, and, like, I got no call and no show. You know, and I was like, you know, okay, because, like, it's really not my business, like, everywhere you go, everything you do. But, like, if we're supposed to be doing some little respect in this relationship, so, like, the disease, without his permission, told me it was okay. So I was like, okay, so talk Saturday and, like, act like nothing happened, you know. Another week went by, a couple of weekends, it was a Friday night, and it happened all over again. And that same disease that doesn't ask permission told me it's okay. You know, he just doing his little thing. But anyway, you know, it went on, and finally I had to tell the disease that, like, I am a queen today. I don't deserve nothing less than a king. I've worked on learning how to love me with the sole purpose of loving you. And today I refuse to accept anything less. I need you to love me just as much as I love me. You know, and if you're working on some things, you already know how to do that. You know, so what I had to do was, I talked to the person and I told him exactly how I felt, what I was looking for, and the fact that, like, not that I'm trying to do his inventory, but I know he wasn't ready to give me what I was looking for, and I'm not willing to accept what you're offering, you know. And we're still friends. Matter of fact, I picked up a T-shirt and a hat for him today because he couldn't make it and he had already registered. But that's a direct result of living this program, you know, is that even though we don't agree on everything, I can love you in spite of, because, see, everything that you do outside of me ain't none of my business. You know, I have a God of my understanding that takes care of all that for me. You know, I recently went through a situation, and no, I ain't going to say I'm not going to try to cry, because I'm going to cry if I feel like it. You know, I have I have 4 sons. They range from the age of 25 to 16. And my 16-year-old was one of those, you know, he's 6'2", but, you know, real thin, one of those little kind of meek guys, you know, don't really do much, plays Nintendo, and, you know, he's a basketball advocate, so he goes to play basketball. And I get a call Saturday morning at 4 o'clock a.m., which I'm already pacing because I haven't heard from him. And they have my son locked up for something that he didn't even do, that he didn't even see, you know. And that disease that I have that does not ask permission, you know, wanted me to, like, run down to the police station. And, oh, Lord, you got to let my son up out of here. And, you know, run. You know, I was really crazy. What I did, though, you know, and I have to say for me, like, I kind of stressed out on the floor, you know, and I went to the God of my understanding, you know, help me get this big knot out of my stomach. You know, help me to find out what it is I need to be doing right now. So I start calling people, you know. And, you know, of course, people are like, you know, it's going to be okay. And, you know, and I was like, this is really not feeling good in my belly, you know, in my heart. My heart is broken. Because, like, he was not understanding why he was there because he hadn't committed a crime. And what I did, I just had to keep praying. I have to practice these steps and these traditions that we talk about all the time. I had to sit down and learn how to apply them in my life in this particular situation. And what I did, I had to really practice those first three, because, see, I was definitely powerless over that situation, you know. It was absolutely nothing that I could do. You know, the man thought that was him because he had on a hat. He said, that's him, and they said, okay, let's lock him up. You know, and there was nothing I could do, you know. I had to call my sponsor, call people in my network, come into these rooms and share about it so I could get back to a little bit of sanity, because I couldn't even work. I was all, you know, so worried about, like, what's, you know, what is he doing? What is going on with him? And, you know, is anybody trying to beat him up? Because, you know, I'm looking at Oz now. And he only a juvenile, so he been, you know, I'm all up in Oz. Oh, Lord, they're going to do something to my baby, you know. But, and then I had to make a decision to turn my will over. I had to make a decision to completely let go of the situation and let the God of my understanding handle it. And I'm here to say that, like, last Monday they called me and told me that they had dropped all charges against my son and I can come pick him up. You know, and that's my higher power working against the lower power and the disease that just won't ask me for no permission. You know, back in August, a very, very dear friend of mine, which is my older son's father, and we've always been close, he got killed on his job. And my disease wanted me to act out. You know, not so much go get some crack. I'm going to go get a body, you know, go find me a victim so I can work off some of this hurt and this pain. And I don't know why is this happening to me? Because he'd recently made a decision to be a part of this program after, like, being out there for a very long time. And I'm all excited about that, you know, because, see, me and my disease, I already sat down, we had made plans, because, you know, this was the love of my life. But I knew I couldn't be with him while he was using. He's in the program. He wants to be here. And, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to give him a year. Ooh, I'm back to that again. You know, and, you know, he celebrated in October. You know, I'm got it pinpoint down. You know, and, you know, once again, that disease that just won't ask me no permission. You know, but, he got killed on his job, and I was devastated, you know. I had just talked to him the night before, and, you know, and the next day he was gone, you know. And I'm just here to say that, like, this day is the only day that has been promised to us. I can't get back to yesterday if I run 350 million miles an hour, you know. And I just don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow, you know. So I work on making this day the fullest day, like it's the last day of my life, you know. I love to smile. I love to have fun. That happy, joyous, and free that they talk about, I experience it today. I don't have to talk about it no more. You know, I actually live it, and I share it, you know, because what I've learned as a result of living this program and working on steps and calling people and having a sponsor and having sponsees and reaching out to the newcomers, that guess what? My recovery is first, but I am no longer the most important person. You know what I'm saying? Everyone outside of me is the most important person in my life. Because, see, without them, guess what? There is no me. You know, I don't know. I'm starting to draw a blank here. You know, I am so, and I keep saying I am so, so excited. N.A. definitely rocks. You know, I N.A. rocks. You know, this program has afforded me so many things, and it ain't got nothing to do with what I can feel, touch, or see. You know, I recently moved into a new condo, and I'm really happy and excited about that. And the first thing that the disease that I have told me is I need to go buy this. You don't got no curtains. I got six windows. I ain't never had six windows in my living room, dining room. You know, now you need to go get every, you know, you got to go shopping, you got to go, you know, but see, my telephone, I got to get my, come on now, I got to get my telephone paid, rent is going to be coming right back up, I'm now going to be paying electric, water, and gas, so guess what, if I really don't have a curtain right now, I think it's going to be okay, I got some mini blinds, you know, You know, I mean, but that's how my disease works on me. It don't have to be about a drug. The littlest little thing, it will tap me on my shoulder to take my focus off the gratitude of my day. I've been going back and forth with these people waiting for, like, keys, this, that. And the moment I walked up those steps, I'm talking about a curtain. Oh, dang, I need to get a dining room set. I don't have no microwave. I got a whole oven that I walk by to look at that counter space where the microwave should be sitting. You know, he still heat up. You know, we get so caught up on the new stuff. It still heat your food up if you turn on the knob. You know, I'm all up in my head about a microwave, and it's a nice big oven. I don't walk by it and, you know, stood by the counter where the microwave gonna go. You know, One, you know, I didn't really have money for groceries, but I had enough to get some, you know, but I was thinking about, I wanted to do something else. I don't want to buy no groceries. You know, my disease takes me all over the place, you know, because like just coming up here for the convention, I had to really sit down and make sure I could afford to come. Because, see, I know how to, like, well, I'll pay that, you know, to go to the convention. But that's not what it's all about. Because, see, they're going to have many conventions all over the place. But I need to make sure that, like, my priorities are taken care of. Because I know in early recovery, I did that. I would Bill, what? I'm going up to Ocean City, North Carolina, wherever. You know, and I'm going to worry about, like, if the rent going to get paid when I get back, you know. But I'm not living like that today, you know. Because I want to be able to, like, leave here after I get all this good information and all this spirituality and go home and not have to be trying to figure out how I'm going to pay my rent or how I'm going to pay my bills or if Monday I can catch the phone people on the line and say, like, can you give me till Friday, you know? So I made a point to take care of all that. My disease kind of tapped me on my shoulder right before the convention because I really don't have a lot of money. But like I said, I took care of all that other stuff. I don't need money to come to Narcotics Anonymous, you know? If I'm so bad in a point, guess what? If I get a dollar from everybody in here, I can get a registration, you know? Y'all not going to let me starve, and that's one of the joys of being a part of this program, that this is family. Y'all not going to let me starve, and hopefully if you're working on something, you ain't going to let me die, you know? I have people in my life that pull me up on my bull crap, you know. When I'm not doing what I talk about doing, then they pull me up, you know, because I fall short just like anybody else, you know. But I work hard on doing what it suggests for me to do here. I'm an addict, and my name is Donna. I have a disease that wants my life. Some days I have a mind that I can't trust. You know, I don't make any giant decisions without running by somebody else. And even when I had made a decision to be in that relationship, the first time he came to my house to stay more than 15 minutes, I called all the way to Pennsylvania to my sponsor. And my sponsor said, you need to call me every 30 minutes and ask me what I'm doing. If I don't answer the phone, you need to keep calling until I answer it. And when I pick it up, ask me, what am I doing? You know, I don't fool myself about who I am today. I hadn't been with anybody in 18 months. The right touch, kiss to the right, would have been all right. Would have done the deal. Would have done the deal, you know. So I even told him, like, tell me to tell him that, like, I can't even kiss you today, you know. Because I'm working on not just talking, but walking. I have a disease that does not ask permission. And I work on not always doing what it asked me to do. So I made it through that evening. Thankfully, you know, I mean, we did hug, and he got the rest. I said, look, you got to move over there. You know, no disrespect, nothing that I don't like you, because I do, but I'm working on some Donna things. And I don't want to do what I've always done, but like do you, and then try to get to know who you are. You know, because you've been all up inside, and I don't even have a clue who you are. You know, I want to share me with somebody that knows me, you know. And maybe I know a little bit something about you, you know. I got 5 minutes here. Oh, no, not even more. But anyway, you know, I am so excited. And I know I keep saying that, but this is so awesome, you know. This is the only second time that I spoke at a convention, but it is so awesome. You know, and I can't wait, you know, to get to all the other meetings and hear all the other sharing that's going to be going on today. So I can get my stuff, pack it all up in my pockets and underneath, put a little down here and all that, and carry it on back with me to share with somebody else, you know. If you don't know if you want to be here, please keep coming back. If you're struggling, want to hurt somebody, want to do something that you ain't got no business, please keep coming back. Things around you might not get better, but you can get better one day at a time. I'm an addict. My name is Donna. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Next, we have Mark from D.C.
My name is Mark, and I'm an addict. I'll read this speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with 12 steps or 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, thank you, we should be careful to deliver a clean message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. And my name is Mark, and I'm an addict, and I'm nervous. And where did all y'all come from? God. My clean date is March the 2nd, 1994. And before I forget, I definitely need to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to be here, and also CPRNA 20. Whew! I remember that for the invitation, because obviously somebody thinks I have something to share. I want to thank Donna. And I'm going to give you all the male version of the relationship piece a little bit later on. If y'all don't mind, I know that this is our meeting, so I want to try something because I'm nervous and I need y'all to help loosen me up. No, I didn't write notes. When I first got here, y'all told me that the disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, right? So with that being said, can I have everybody say it together? My disease wants me dead.
My disease wants me dead.
Cool. Thank you. Now, Don had also said something that it's a new word, and the word is insidious, and it's been bugging me, so I decided to look the word up because I didn't want to stand up here and make it sound like I know what I'm talking about when I really didn't. So I went on ahead and looked the word up, and insidious is a couple of definitions. It says, awaiting a chance to entrap, treacherous, harmful but enticing, seductive. And in parentheses, it has drugs that destroy the young, having a gradual and cumulative effect, subtle, of a disease developing so gradually as to be well established before becoming apparent. Insidious. In short, I use a lot of drugs. From the age of 13, from the age of 13 up until the age of 34. And what I know since being here is you all taught me that I didn't like me. And I did everything I could on a daily basis to try to change the way I felt. And my bottom was real simple. The job decided to cut my time back a little bit. The disease said to me, we'll show them, right? And I proceeded to go up on, I think it's Martin Luther King in Portland Street, if anybody familiar with D.C., and I went on my mission, got a couple of those workers we know about, and went to the liquor store, got a little bit of liquor, went and got a couple of tricks, went on home, and to make a long story short, at the end of the day, my ex-wife came home and caught me butt naked with this young lady, right? And that was my bottom. And I can remember... you know, praying and crying because of what it was, you know, I felt like as long as her clothes were in the closet, she would always come back home. And she did. I just wasn't ready. And anyway, I prayed, and I remember my mom telling me, she said, son, if you take one step, God will take two. You know, and by that time I was whipped and I was ready, and I can recall praying and snotting for about 3 days, and the God of my understanding saw fit to have me go to detox. Went to a 6-month program, and in that program a lot of things started because I started being introduced to the program, H&I. You know, people were bringing meetings up, and what I was impressed with is what was that they would come up on a Saturday, hot outside, and all of us sitting in there, you know, like we're sitting right here, and they would share. But what I wasn't thinking about was they get a chance to go home, and I didn't. Right? But they would do that, and I started listening. I started becoming willing. But then, again, you all would tell me that this is a disease that we have. So I was glad to find out it was a disease, and I wasn't really responsible for all that stuff that I did, you know, because I used to low crawl by the bed and, you know, go in my wife's pocketbook and, you know, take a bank card out and run down to the bank and, you know, go inside and go to the bank, get the money out, run back up to Eastgate, come back, low crawl by the bed, hope she hadn't gotten up, you know, put the money back again, and I repeated that cycle over and over again. You know, I'm sure, you know, at least I know I've done this, is that, you know, the disease says, well, once you get this money, you can always slide the money back in the bank the next day. You know, the disease is real smart. And I would do that. And then finally, she caught me. You know, she caught me. And I said, I was going to put the money back. Like, you know, damn well you were, you know, that kind of thing. So I would put the money back. But just a vicious cycle, you know. And then the active addiction, the disease, of course, you know, had me, you know, say, well, look, let's take the job credit card, run down here, you know, let's go get a case of antifreeze and a carton of cigarettes. And I thought I was doing something, right? A carton of cigarettes, and let's go out and sell this stuff so you can do what you need to do. You know, and I would repeat that cycle. You know, that same disease would tell me, you know, I worked at a university, and that same disease would tell me, you got the key to the office. Let's go on up there. Ain't nobody there. And I would go in that office. But then that disease would tell me, don't go out there. Somebody's there. It's midnight. Who the hell is there? Ain't nobody there. It's midnight, you know. So after coming into the rooms, and you all told me that the recovery is in the steps. The recovery is in the steps. You know, and you know, you all told me to get a foundation. You know, you all told me I had to do an inventory, I had to share it with somebody, you know, and a change would gradually come. But the disease is in the corner doing push-ups. You know, it's doing calisthenics. You know, you never know when it's going to come. And that kind of brings me where I am right now. I don't think I need to, again, going to a drug along. Again, y'all, I'm nervous. So this is the male version of what Donna was talking about. When I was called and asked to do this particular topic, I was like, okay, the disease ain't never going to ask my permission. That's real simple. Ain't never going to do that. But I'm the kind of person, I want to get up here and really sound profound and give y'all all these great words I think I know. But I remember, thank God for a sponsor. He told me a couple of years ago, he said, just speak from your heart, and let's be honest. So if y'all don't mind, I'm going to free me. Donna was talking about a relationship, and not long ago, I was in a relationship. And it ended not long ago. And I can remember a good friend of mine, one of the things they said to me was, did you ask God? Right. So this time around, I say I'm going to do something different. Now, what I need to tell y'all is we broke up back in November. And somebody said, well, did you ask God? And I said, nah. So, you know how it is. You get back together and all that. You talk about getting back together. So this time I prayed. And I prayed. And what y'all told me I'm supposed to do is wait on God's answer. So I heard what I thought was God's answer. And the disease was saying, it's okay, go ahead. And, of course, you know, the young lady and I got back together and all of that. And the bottom line is that it didn't work out. Now, this is where I'm at now, is that it didn't work out. I'm angry about it, but I'm not telling y'all about it. It didn't work out. I'm disappointed because I wanted her to call me and apologize. Right? And she hasn't done it. Right? And this is the first time I'm doing this in the open. And she hasn't done it. But my sponsor had to help me with that. So in the meantime, while all this is going on, I'm trying not to feel. I don't want to feel. Can I really get honest about this? Oh, okay. So now what I want to do is I want to trade a feeling for a feeling. I'm victim hunting now. I mean, I know a whole bunch of victims. And the disease says, let's call up so-and-so. You know how they go. Call them up. But the God of my understanding steps in. Nothing happens. I don't want to recognize that I'm being forced to feed. So since that's not working, the disease say, come on, let's try something else. We can do something else. I go ahead and listen to what disease, because I'm willing to listen to the disease now. I'm willing to listen to it. Okay, I don't want to feel that. And, you know, self-centeredness is at the core.
That's right.
So when my friends call, when the phone rings, like, who the hell is it calling me now? I ain't got time for nobody is what I'm trying to say. I have a mother who is 66, sweet woman, best friend. What the hell does my mother want now? You know. Supposed to do step work with a sponsee. We had a date set up and a time. Disease say, no, let's go shopping. Get with him later. Disease a motherfucker. I know this is on tape, but I'm sorry. That's just what I'm feeling right now. So now I'm not really working on anything because I want to be on a pity pot. I want to waddle in what it is I'm feeling, but I still don't want to tell y'all about it. I had a friend of mine tell me yesterday, you talked about everything but that, right? Now, another good friend of mine, she said something to me yesterday. She said, well, have you cried? And then I said, with all my arrogance, nah, I ain't seeing reason to. You know, I'm Mr. Machismo now. I ain't seeing a need to cry. Shit, she was wrong, not me. I did up, walking on the inside of the sidewalk, opening the door for her, taking her out to dinner. Hey, Mr. Johnny on the spot. But what I need to share with y'all is trying to make her something that she wasn't. I'm the kind of guy, when I meet you and you put on like you like me as much as I like you, we will be getting married a year from now. So, because, and to be quite honest, it's because it's something I really want. But in the last 24 hours, I really had to humble myself. And what I need to say is this. When I'm going through this and I'm allowing the disease to do what it do, I forget about praying. I know all this week I done laid in the bed and all I say is, thank you, Lord, for another day and going to sleep. I haven't taken no inventory, nothing. I may get up and meditate the next day. I may not. Half-hearted. And let me say to the newcomer who may be listening, time don't mean jack if you ain't working on nothing. So, you know, I'm not praying about anything, but like I said, within the last 24 hours, and I heard you say that you know, my people, my friends, my network will not let me die. So I say thank you, wherever the heck she just went, to the young lady who asked me, did I cry? Because I got a chance to do it yesterday. I say thank you to the friend who said to me, I was talking about everything but that. And let me know that God was working. See, he was working back with the phone call to come and do this right here. And I didn't figure that out until yesterday. I ain't figured out until yesterday, right? Z's is rough. But what I know is I want to stay here. And again, I want to talk to the newcomer. I am not perfect. I'm not perfect in here. You all have given me tools. The question is, am I going to use it? Because I'm responsible for my recovery. The disease is never going to ask my permission. I mean, it wouldn't be a disease. The shit is fatal, so of course it wants me to die. There is no cure. We read it over and over again. There is no cure. This is one of those real funny diseases. It works coupled with things called character defects. You know, and with me, y'all just heard me mention arrogant. Right? And a lot of times I don't even know I'm doing it because it's been a part of me for so long. I don't even know I'm doing it. To one of you ladies say to me, you arrogant bastard. You know, then I'm concerned about it. You know, it operates through with my selfishness. And I think that's why y'all used to tell me, do not go up here unescorted. That the mind is for entertainment purposes only. And I guess I want to stress before I forget, because I'll get the brain and get to saying a whole lot of things and the mouth just don't keep up. So if y'all hear me saying one thing and jump to something else, that's what's going on. You know, but you all told me, Mark, first of all, don't use. So I can tell you all throughout this process I haven't used. Okay. Go to a meeting. You know, talk to your sponsor. Read the literature. Now, I can't tell y'all that I'm a literature guru. I cannot tell y'all that. But this morning, I happened to start reading the 11th step. Starting to put things back on track. My sponsor often reminds me, and now I'm really grasping at it now, is that I am not God Jr. I'm helping me right now. I am not God Jr. And in that, going back to the relationship part, and I know I told you all about, you know, in a year's time, this is what's going to happen, because everyone I meet always think they the one, right? And they don't be the one. What happens is I forget about God. I push God to the side. And I make that person my high power. And the disease tells me, no, you're not. You're not making them your high power because you're still going to meetings. You're still praying and blah. I make them my high power because all of a sudden I become this sucker. I got her now. I need to go buy her some stuff. I don't know if y'all follow me after the meeting. I need to go buy her some stuff. And what I'm doing is I'm really trying to make this person love me. I heard a guy sitting behind me a few minutes ago, and the word he mentioned was representative. And I met her representative, and that's the person that I liked. When she showed up, he started having issues. I did. But what I need to remember, y'all told me that it begins with me and it ends with me. What about me showing her my representative? You know, and I did. I showed her my representative. I really did. But I wanted her to like me so bad. I really did. And I was disappointed because she didn't like me the way I wanted her to. The way I wanted her to. But what I know is I'll keep coming back. I'll keep coming back. That prayer get answered one day. And this is what, now I want to go back right quick, because I said in the last 24 hours I started trying to, you know, everything started coming together for me. An old timer that I confide in a lot, he always asked me, and I knew he was going to ask me before I even called him. I said, Mr. So-and-so, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. And the first word comes out of his mouth is, did you turn it over? And I knew he was going to say it. And then he always says to me, God is either all or nothing. And for me, I can't speak for anyone else in here, there are times I really have trouble grasping that concept that God is either all or nothing. Now, I've been here for 12 years, and I still struggle with God being all or nothing, that God has all power. You know, that he, and one of the words he said to me was, he didn't bring you this far just to dump you off. You know, and so when somebody else is saying it to me, I can hear it. Well, where I'm having the trouble is I need to feel it right here. And I can tell y'all every day I don't feel it right here. You know, which of course has me living outside of today. And one good thing I could say, I paid my mortgage before I got down here. So I'm not concerned about that. And I brought it up for a reason, because I can look at all the things that I thought I would never get and have gotten. You know, that I have gotten. Just trying to live in the day and letting the God of my understanding do it for me. You know, I can look at all the things that I now own since being, because I came here with nothing. I came here with absolutely nothing. You know, and I got a God of my understanding, because what will y'all help me in the second step, was y'all said, loving, caring, and the part that I always let get by me, power greater than me.
That's right.
Yeah. And once I was able to grasp that he's loving and caring, right, then I don't believe in that fire and brimstone God anymore, that he's going to punish me for every little dumb thing that I do. He already knows that I'm going to do something stupid, because I'm sure I'm going to do something stupid today. I'm sure I am, you know. But, no, the disease is never going to ask my permission, and I must remain vigilant in my walk in recovery. No matter how many times I may mess up, no matter how many times I may forget to pray, no matter how many times I may say something wrong to somebody, the point is I need to keep coming back. And I'm blessed to be here. I really am. I'm blessed to be here, because I thought I was going to smoke crack for a long time.
Ever.
Man, I thought I was going to smoke it. I made that my mission. I got to be honest. I still like smoking it.
Oh my God.
I still like it. 12 years later, I still like it. But, say it again, don't like me. Be doing all kinds of stupid stuff, stealing from people, selling my cars, taking off my watch and pawning it, lying to people, not going to work, and to calling people saying I'm going to be there 15 minutes, and then calling 15 minutes later, I'm going to be there 30 minutes later, then don't show up at all, then want to know why they wrote me up. Yeah, want to know why they wrote me up. The disease is vicious. It's vicious. I believe I have about 7 minutes left, but what I'm gonna close with, because the speaker before me said an awful lot, and I don't want to get up here and get the line there, because y'all going and everything I'm saying, right? I really like talking to the newcomer, because you all are the lifeline. Is that you don't have to use, even if you want to. No matter what's going on, if your ass fall off, pick it up, bring it to a meeting, we'll help you put it back on. We're going to help you put it back on. May not know what's going to happen tomorrow. May not believe in this program. You might think we all playing and joking and lying about what's going on. Keep coming back. More will be revealed. Don't use, no matter what. Get a sponsor if you don't have a sponsor. Please get a sponsor if you don't have a sponsor. And continue to go to meetings. This program is helped me to do a lot of things that I've never done before, and one of the biggest highlights in my life was last September. I remember telling somebody, yeah, I'm going to go to Hawaii one day. I ain't know it was going to happen last year. I had a ball up there, man. Oh, man, I had a ball. And that was a big thing for me. That was a big thing for me, because I couldn't imagine that far. Couldn't imagine those kind of places. You know, and the last thing I want to share, and I was thankful that Donna talked about her kids. I have a 28-year-old daughter. And when I said I started neglecting people, she was one of those people. And I did that in my youth. I neglected her. So I'm grateful for the relationship we have now. Needless to say, my daughter is smelling herself. And she went to Miami a while back, and I asked her, who does she go with? Because I know my daughter doesn't travel by herself, right? And first thing she said to me was, well, Dad, Mom met him. I'm like, okay. I didn't ask you who Mom met. Who is the guy? Who are you going with? So then she says to me, well, Dad, I don't think you trust my judgment. And what I'm dealing with is people out here are crazy. You know, and you're my only child, bottom line. So in all of that, she made another comment about, don't you know I'm 28 and I'll be 30 in 2 years? No program there. So to make a long story short is that first thing came out of my mouth, the disease says, you know what? She'll need you before you need her. And I took that attitude. I'm not calling her. I go to work, and the help came from somebody not in the program. And the guy says to me, and I'm going to tell him what was going on. He says, you know, that's your only child. You'll always be her father. Y'all going to need each other. Why don't you pick up the phone and give her a call? So me knowing he was right, understanding that God of my understanding was working through somebody else at the time, I went home, called my daughter. Hey, look, I love you. Let's get by this because life is too short and we are going to need each other. So needless to say, we haven't talked since then, but I've done my part. So I'm like you. I'm just waiting. I know God is working with her too. Again, I want to thank you all for being here for me and tolerating me and with all my jumping back and forth and my sharing and whatnot. And I need y'all, so please don't y'all go anywhere. Make sure I don't go anywhere. And again, my name is Mark, and I'm an addict. Thank you.